what a surprise. Not the six-week wait we usually make you wait. No. Trade deadline. Special edition. Can you not interrupt my intro?
Oh, sorry.
I mean...
We're not back.
We are back, but I was like, doing a thing. Yeah, I was doing a thing about it.
Wow.
Trade you if I could. I'll tell you that much.
We're back.
Sean O'Neill right there. I'm Zach Vanoss, and this is the Big Pod, the Montreal Bias trade deadline special. Let's talk about it. First off, let's talk about the Canadians, I guess. That's what the people come here first and foremost for. Not a lot of action in any big way, but I think it's safe to say that's what we wanted to see.
Yeah, I mean, we kind of talked about this last episode, and yeah. I think I don't really remember this almost ever happening before, but everyone was kind of on the same page. Going into this, at least, you know, as far as the fans and pundits were concerned, and apparently Marc Bergevin as well, which is that sometimes you're not a buyer or a seller. Like, this season's gone better than expected. It'd be kind of stupid to add. You're not really, you know, you're in a playoff position. You're not going to sell. Like, just hold steady. Hopefully you get a playoff spot out of it. And if you don't, well, follow.
They're right in it right now. A tough loss to the Canadiens on Saturday night. I barely did a podcast about it. Apologies to listeners, but I was in... So no mood to talk about that Saturday night loss. That was a gut punch, man. Ugh. I worry a little bit about what that... Not that... I think sometimes these things are overinflated in terms of a game like that, you know, sinking their spirits or anything. But it did feel like a tough one, and one that was right there for you. If, bad break and just a little bit better play, and it was theirs to have, man.
Yeah, and we're recording this live Monday night. It's currently the second period against New Jersey, and... I don't know if this is a hangover from Saturday's game, but not looking great against the Devils in the first period, but this could easily be irrelevant by the time you listen to it.
That's what we're good at. So one addition to the team today for the Habs, Jordan Wheel, who I frankly had never heard of. He goes for Michael Chaput, according to people who seem to know things. This is a slight upgrade. A win for the Canadians, if not one that really is all that significant. So, fine. The fourth line needs tinkering. Terrier seems upset with it. I don't care. I don't care about Michael Chaput, and I probably won't care about Jordan Wheel.
Yeah, I'm not going to pretend I know who Jordan Wheel was before this. Chaput was relatively terrible. So yep,
relatively terrible. I mean...
like, I can't imagine being a downgrade.
We still haven't found our little fourth liner who can. We seem to have one of those every year, and we just nobody's emerged. So maybe it will be Jordan Wheel, or maybe
Bergevin's track record of finding those guys is pretty good.
Yeah, it's not bad at all. So I mean, that was it's a depth move. I don't think it really changes anything too much for the Canadians. But if he can be consistent and actually in the lineup every game, fourth liner, though, I mean, that's something.
Yeah, it's a very depth move, but it could be, you know, if the difference ends up being a point in the end of the season, like having a solid fourth line it could be the difference, theoretically, I suppose.
As far as teams in the thick of it with the Canadians right now, the Blue Jackets did some adding.
Yes, they did.
The Blue Jackets, after this season, who knows? But they're all in this year. I don't know how that's going to work out for them, but we'll see.
I am fascinated by what they've done. It's really kind of one of the more fascinating deadlines that a team's had in recent memory, I think.
Yeah, definitely.
To go from, you know, you had two of the most intriguing trade pieces out there, and to go from not only not trading them, but to adding two other big pieces and just really... You know, going all in when you're a fringy playoff team is interesting, but I kind of love it.
They added good players today, so, like, the expectation is that should help them make the playoffs, obviously, but they could easily miss still with this addition. I mean, there's no... Just because you added a couple good players doesn't guarantee you're in, and then who knows for them. They've got, I think it was a third and a seventh is all they have next. Maybe not even a third. Maybe it's like a fifth and a seventh.
Yeah, I think you're right. It's something like that.
It's pretty bad, but I don't know. It's no one does it this way anymore. This is actually how most teams used to do it everything all the time. You know, before we were all conscious of building and before TV revenue was worth what it was. So you still had to give reason to people to come to your building on a regular basis. It's interesting. It certainly makes them a more formidable foe the rest of the way. One of the teams that the Canadians are trying to get past, get into the playoffs.
Yeah, and I mean, if you're a Kekalainen, and I mean, listen, normally it's not a great idea for GMs to be managing for their job, but Sure, Kekalainen, like, if this team misses the playoffs, he's probably out of a job anyways.
Yeah, I think so.
But if he wins even a round, which is something that franchise has never done, you know, maybe you're looking at a 2 or 3 year extension.
Yeah, it's...
And even if, and you know, I think Panarin's a goner, Bobrovsky seems like 50-50, but you got to think that, I mean, maybe they're just really going in all in on the rentals, but you got to think Duchene expressed at least some sort of interest in negotiating at the very least.
Yeah, you had to, I mean, I say that, no, who knows, maybe these guys do not seem like they're planning beyond this season, so that may not be the case. They may just see this as, let's load up, and I think we were talking about this just amongst each other the other day, is they've never won a playoff round. Like,
yeah, exactly.
You know, they're going for a different, something different probably than we want to build towards.
Yeah. Yeah. Going all in when you're the Columbus Blue Jackets is different than going all in if you're almost any other franchise.
Yeah. Because
just winning a round would be a momentous achievement for this franchise. Like, I'm not even trying to be an asshole about this. It really would.
I mean, you are being an asshole about it, but you're not trying.
I mean, I am, but I'm not trying to be.
Exactly. Sure. Just happens naturally for you.
I said with all due respect.
Another one in the Habs conversation was the Pittsburgh Penguins. I wish I could credit this to who it was, a funny joke. When they saw that they traded Gudbrandsson for Tanner Pearson, they asked, are they tanking?
I mean, it's hard to flag Jim Rutherford too much because he's won 2 cups since he went there, but he does seem to have that Mark Bergevin disease where he really loves slow-ass number 6 defenseman.
And he was talking about how there's still room for those guys in the game today, right before he made that trade. I think like almost like a smokescreen for what he was about to do.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I mean, I don't know if they're playing him with Jack Johnson, but Johnson and Gabranson literally could be the worst defensive pairing in the league.
Yeah.
Well, to say nothing of the fact that they make, what, $8-10 million combined.
I mean, Pittsburgh's done it with terrible defense. They've won a Stanley Cup with 4 defensemen, pretty much. So I never count out Malkin and Crosby. At least I don't yet. But you know, if we're looking at who's around us and who we're going to be jostling with the rest of the way, Columbus certainly got better, but I don't think Pittsburgh did.
No, I don't. I still think Montreal's probably the least talented of the. You know, there's 4 teams fighting for 3 spots, and Pittsburgh, Carolina, Columbus all make me a little nervous.
Yeah, they should. Carolina especially, just because they seem to be riding. I mean, they weren't really within sniffing distance a few weeks back. They've been progressively getting there, but they seem to be riding high right now. Identical record. Oh, no, sorry. They have 1 less overtime loss than the Canadiens. Habs, this is as they play New Jersey. They're 33-22-7, and Carolina right behind them, 33-23-6. 1 point separates them with the same amount of games played. Pittsburgh, 1 point back. Columbus, even with the Canadiens, but they've played 1 less game. Everybody else is kind of at least 4 points, like Washington's 4 points up on that. 5 points after Toronto.
Yeah.
It's a four horse race at this point. And like you say, the other teams do seem more talented.
It seemed like for a minute there, you know, maybe Philly was going to climb back into the race. Maybe Florida was going to sort of muscle their way back in. Maybe even Buffalo. But it seems like the playoff race in the East is pretty much set, and there's going to be one team on the outside looking in. And it's probably going to be a matter of a point or two.
Yeah. Yep.
Which kind of makes Saturday even all the more frustrating.
It does. That was an opportunity squandered, no matter who you were taking on, let alone the fact that it was to the Leafs. That one stings. And maybe we are seeing the result of that sting in what they've brought against New Jersey here on Monday night. But maybe they'll turn it around. Not looking very good so far. So that's about it.
Even if Bergeron could have found that theoretical piece that would have put them over the hump and put them ahead of Carolina, Pittsburgh, Columbus, I don't think this is the year to do it.
No.
Making the playoffs is a bonus, but if this team finishes in 9th place, I won't be upset.
Pittsburgh did do one more move late in the day that I'd missed. They got Chris Weidman for Jean-Sébastien Dee from the Panthers. So, again.
Okay.
Yeah. It's not really scaring me.
I mean, you always got the impression they were going to be tinkering around the margins this deadline.
Yeah.
Like, you know, speaking of teams that have given up a lot of assets, like Pittsburgh doesn't have a whole lot left in the tank.
I'm surprised they have anything left after it seems like they've added every year forever.
Yeah.
But they still have something to give, and somehow Nashville still has space to add people. Even though they definitely considered moving PK Subban today. former Habs on the move, Nathan Beaulieu, now on to the Jets for a sixth-round pick. That sounds about right. No, Nathan, I miss him on days like this because he was included in all our rumored trades, or all the ones that we made up. Him,
we got a second for him?
I think we got a second for him, yeah.
I think we did, and I mean, that makes sense. That's kind of pretty much the trajectory that his career is on from, you know, first-round pick, traded for a second-round pick, traded for a sixth-round pick, and then probably out of the league in 2 years.
Eller, Tenorti, and Beaulieu. Names that were thrown into more rumor trades created by the fans and pundits than any other players ever, I think, in the Canadiens' history. We were moving those guys
all the time.
Yeah,
and I don't really know who the new... I don't know who the new piece is that we're all overvaluing that we're going to think is going to get a superstar, but I'm looking forward to finding out. Romanoff, maybe?
Yeah, it's... Well, I mean... I've seen stupid opinions, but you can't count one person here and there. I did see some hand-wringing over, like, oh, I hope we don't trade this asset or that asset. And I'm like, that guy's like a fifth-round pick. Who the hell cares? Like, yes, maybe he's looking good, but, man, it's so easy to overvalue your assets.
Yeah, and I think every fan base probably does it. It seems like Montreal, like, to us, it seems like the Habs or the Montreal market's more guilty of that than others, but I think that's just... because we're more familiar with the assets than we have higher expectations as fans.
Speaking of those assets, good news today, at least as far as Noah Juulsen's concerned. There's a good chance, or at least a chance, that he won't play again this season anyway. But Bergevin said he 100% expects him to be back next year. So that's good, because there was talk like that he may never play again. So Noah Juulsen remains part of the team going forward. That's good.
Yeah, he's a nice piece.
Someday we'll trade him for a first-line center. He'll be the missing piece. Speaking of players that I overvalue, I was talking about this on the recency bias the other day. I would have overpaid for Wayne Simmonds. I definitely would have given Ryan Hartman in a conditional fourth to get Wayne Simmonds if I'm the Nashville Predators.
Yeah, that was on a day where it's hard to tell if it was a buyer's market or a seller's market, but all the trades seemed pretty reasonable, and then he was kind of one of the last ones.
Yeah.
It was a pretty nice piece moved for a pretty underwhelming return.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, he seems like a great ad for a team like Nashville, who, you know, so few holes on that team, and he just seems like the perfect guy to bring in. So, you know, and they're a team that obviously is willing to give things up, but they barely... I mean, I don't know anything about Ryan Hartman, but I'd be surprised if he's one of their top prospects.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's a nice enough piece, but no, it seems like, you know, like you said, not a team, Nashville, not a team with a ton of holes, but it did seem like they needed to do something. They're really dependent on that top line, and the forwards that they have kind of tend to be more sort of finesse guys, perimeter guys. They didn't have a power forward like Simmonds. I think it's really kind of a perfect fit.
I'm just trying to figure out who Hartman was. Who knows? Doesn't matter.
So that was the other story of the day, was that, you know, the big guns in the West, kind of, they all loaded, with the exception of Calgary, they all kind of loaded up.
Yeah, I think the whole West seems to believe that the West can be had.
Yeah, which I think is 100% true.
Yep. First time in a long time that the West is definitely weaker than the East.
Yeah.
And, you know, so who, I mean, we've got Nashville making some nice ads, Winnipeg making some nice ads. San Jose didn't really do anything. They're another team of the West, I think.
They got Nyquist.
Oh, that's right. They did add Nyquist.
Nice ad. For a team that's pretty fucking stacked already.
Winnipeg needed to do something, because I think they'd floundered a little bit lately.
Yeah. And Kevin Hayes is pretty, that's, you know, a nice, pretty ad. Perfect ad for them.
Yeah, that's a good ad for them. He's going to fit that team really nicely. Calgary, I'm surprised, didn't do anything. I think they might be a player too short to really... I know they're in first place, but I would have liked to see them add something, I think.
With the West so wide open, and with every other team making a move, it's tough. And, you know, we didn't mention Stone going to Vegas. So
right, Vegas is, I guess, in the conversation now that they've added Stone.
Yeah. So, I mean, all the other kind of top contenders made a move, and Capri stayed put. And listen, maybe they don't think it's their year. Maybe they like what they have going on in the locker room. If I was a Flames fan, I would have liked to see something. You know, apparently the asking price on Stone was too high, which is fair enough, I guess. But, you know, Zuccarello or Nyquist or something would have been nice if you're the Flames, I think.
Meanwhile, the Atlantic Division didn't do too much, including, I mean, the juggernaut Tampa Bay Lightning. They don't need to add anything.
No, you kind of wondered if they would just because that seems like the type of move that they've made in the past. But really, what are you going
to
do?
Yeah. There was rumors of Simmons to Boston. There's rumors, I think, of Duchesne to Boston. Boston was in on a few conversations, which I think, like, has the trade deadline ever hit without Boston seeming to at least be biting at a few of the names?
Yeah, exactly.
Didn't really come to fruition, obviously. So Boston didn't, to my memory at this point, didn't do much of significance. And Toronto Maple Leafs, they did a little tinkering, but Muzzin was really their big ad of the season.
Yeah, they made their move.
Yeah, so
which is a good move, by the way.
Yes, Jake Muzzin was a really nice ad for them. And I also think maybe not doing anything was a nice move by them. I would have liked to have seen them do something stupid. Unfortunately, these aren't the old Maple Leafs.
Yeah, apparently not.
All right, you're our guy on the ground in Ottawa. Is it just a big crater now at the Canadian Tire Center? What's left over there, anyways?
I think we talked about this at the beginning of the season, maybe, and we were saying, we were talking about how we're finally starting to feel a little bit bad for Ottawa.
Yeah.
Like, it reaches a certain point where it's still pretty funny, but it's not quite as funny.
It's a sadder chuckle.
Yeah, exactly. As a once upon a time Montreal Expos fan, I kind of feel like I know what they're going through right now.
Mm. Why'd you gotta make me feel for them like that?
Yeah, and it sucks. Like, I know what it's like when your team's the laughing stock of the league and the cheapskates of the league and the farm system for the rest of the league. It's not a great feeling. And when you're, you know, when you're not really sure if the team's going to be there in 5 years, like, it's kind of reached that point with the Sens, right?
Absolutely. I mean, you know,
like, if they just suck on the ice, whatever, I don't care. Yeah, that's hilarious. Fine. But I don't want to see them lose their team.
Nope. I don't. As much as I hate them, I don't want to see them lose their team. Ottawa should be a good hockey town. I don't think it's impossible, but when you treat the fans like this, you're right, it is very much the Expo situation, right down to the arena, being outside and that really hurting things. Like Duchesne said Matt Stone, I think, said after he signed with Vegas for an 8-year extension, he basically said, like, the ownership here was one of the reasons I was immediately ready to stay, which, I mean, coming out of Ottawa, wouldn't almost every ownership situation besides, like, Florida or something make you feel fantastic? Like, oh, these guys have a plan.
Yep.
And they don't seem to hate me actively all the time.
And, you know, I think it was Merrick and Friedman that were talking about how Ottawa does have a very good prospect pool, probably one of the top five in the league.
Yeah.
In a lot of markets, you could sell that, but I'm not sure that's going to get it done in Ottawa after everything they've been through.
Well, I mean, look at Stone. They found this guy late in the draft. He was really a product of their system and a fantastic product to that. I mean, they turned him into an all-star, just an excellent player. And now he walks. They barely get anything for it. And he's immediately locked into Vegas for 8 years on a big deal that, frankly, they should be able to afford. And he's young. Like,
I mean, Las Vegas, a team that didn't exist 2 years ago.
And is still in the fucking desert in the United States. Like, I know Vegas is a different town and hockey's actually doing okay in the South, but this is Ottawa. This is the capital of Canada. And he's still young. Like, if you're rebuilding, you're always going to need a Stone on that next contract. It's not even the Shea Weber deal. It's heartbreaking for them. Now I'm mad because I feel bad for them.
I mean, to lose, I mean, this is a team that, they overachieved, but this is a team that was in Game 7 of the Eastern Conference Finals 20 months ago.
Yeah, it's true.
And in the last 12 months, you lose Carlson, you lose Hoffman, you lose Stone, you lose Duchesne. And by the way, you traded away what's probably going to be the number one pick in the draft to get Duchesne.
That's the clincher.
God, that is the worst part.
That's so brutal for them. That's the, like, There's nothing you can
say. That part's still pretty funny.
Oh, that part's hilarious. It's all hilarious, except for the part where they might lose their team.
Yeah, that's fair.
Everything else, I can find funny.
Yeah. I mean, regardless of how good the prospect pool is, and I think they do have something like 14 picks in the next draft or something like that. I mean, do you have any confidence that this franchise is going to bring them up in the right way and develop that nucleus into a Stanley Cup contender?
Yeah, does anyone trust Melnick? Like, at
all? Exactly. And I mean, even if they're good for a couple of years, you have any confidence they're not just going to sell off all their assets and do the Marlins thing and just go through this all over again?
Like, he wouldn't even go far enough in the interview to say, once the rebuild's done, we're going to spend to the cap. He said, near the cap. You can't win if you don't spend to the cap. Sure, there might be a team that you can point to as an example here or there that didn't spend to the cap. But it's not some league where there's only three or four teams spending to the cap and the rest, you know, just can't make it there. If you are for real, you have to spend to the cap. You can't waste space. There's too much parity in the league for that. And you can't make mistakes in your cap and you can't waste space. And so if they have no intention of ever fully spending to the cap, Eugene, what do you want this team for? I'm so confused.
Yeah. Yeah. And really, there's no excuse for a Canadian team not to be pretty damn close to the cap every season.
Yeah, exactly.
It's gotta be embarrassing.
Like the only time, like I accept it from Montreal right now, though. I still think, well, we didn't take on a dumb contract. Somebody wanted to flush. Maybe that could have helped. I mean, we still get all that space. That was the one thing I was kind of hoping to see. But less and less people have dumb contracts to dump. Not ones that, you know, we don't want to take one on for too long. The league's getting smarter, I think. I think today showed the league being smarter.
Yeah, I mean, was there no one really wildly overpaid for anyone?
No, the only moves I think that could really hurt somebody is Columbus might be a nightmare after this season. I don't know. But like we say, there's a reason for them doing what they're doing.
But that's less of a overpaying for an asset. Just they're in a weird situation and they're kind of just saying fuck it and hoping that it works.
It's my kind of management style. Like what they're doing.
I also think Columbus is in less terrible shape than everyone assumes, even if everyone walks.
Because then they got all that cap space. They can just add people.
They've got cap space, and they've got Dubois, Jones, and Warnicki.
That's not nothing. I mean, you need to put some good things around it, but you can work with that.
It's a number one center and two legit top line defensemen. I mean, you're right. You need. There's a lot more that you need, but the cupboard's not bare. Like those are some really nice seasons.
No, and Columbus isn't Edmonton or Winnipeg, I don't think, and it's really hard if you're not really good to convince free agents to go there. Is it a luxury? You know, is a market people really want to go to? Probably not. It's probably in the lower percentage of places people want to play in the league, especially because of that goddamn cannon. But it's not like you can't get anyone to sign with the Columbus Blue Jackets. And they might even get Duchesne.
Yeah, exactly. If this team does make the playoffs and wins a round or two, I could see Duchesne deciding to stay. I could even see Panarin deciding to stay.
As a fan of the Toronto Raptors, I'm part of this experiment right now with Kawhi. It's like, well, we might only have him for a year, and we know we're not going to win the championship. Like, the Golden State Warriors will beat us if we make it to the final, but going to the final would feel pretty damn good, and we want to see the team make the shot at it. So, you know, when I put myself in Columbus Blue Jackets fan shoes, I'm excited about what they did. Win a damn playoff. Now, do all this and lose a playoff round, especially if you're swept or something. Columbus is going to start to feel pretty bad for themselves, but...
Yeah. But, I mean, even if that happens, I mean, that would suck. But even if that happens, it probably was going to happen anyways, right?
Yeah, it's not like adding hurt them. It shouldn't, anyway.
It didn't hurt them. Yeah, you gave up some pieces. But, you know, if Panarin and Bobrovsky were going to walk in the offseason anyways, you're going to have to hit the reset switch anyways. So I kind of get going all in.
And you weren't going to get anything for Bob. That was pretty obvious. Which is crazy. Yeah. Like, Calgary didn't want to add Vezina goalie.
Yeah, I know. The lack of market for him was really surprising.
Like, I don't know what kind of guy he is, and he seems like he's an interesting individual. But I don't know. I think you could... Calgary's really the spot to me. that made a lot of sense for him. And maybe, you know, if the cost was only a fourth or a couple lower draft picks, since I don't see how, but I guess it wasn't that cheap. They put it out there. People made cheap offers and they realized, let's just keep him instead and try and win. Cause why get two fours for Bobrovsky? I suppose that's what led to all that thinking. So they're interesting.
Yeah, it's interesting. And that division is pretty wide open. They can beat the Islanders in round one.
Oh, yeah. I that's a very interesting division. It'll be somebody's coming out of there with, I mean, whoever comes out, it's probably going to have to play Tampa, and I don't know who's beating Tampa. I really don't know who's beating Tampa. Nobody did anything today that made me, Nashville's the only team that did something today that made me think they might beat Tampa.
Yeah, Toronto could give them a fun series, but I don't think I see that happening.
They're just very good. Like, Toronto's a very good team. Boston's a solid team. I think Nashville's incredible. But it's been a while since we've seen a team this good in the NHL, and they tend to win the Stanley Cup when they're this good.
It's been a long time, and I forgot that it's kind of fun.
Well, I guess so, unless they're in the division, so that makes it a little rougher.
I don't consider them rivals at all, do you?
No, but if we want to do anything, we got to get past them. But they're also in the way of the Leafs.
Yeah, give it a couple playoff series and maybe I will. But, like,
yeah,
Habs fans that have a hate on for Tampa, like, I don't know. It's Tampa Bay. I don't care.
No, and I'm glad that this juggernaut is standing here just as the Leafs are pretty good. That's fun for me. So
is fun, yeah.
Colorado Avalanche added Derek Brassard for a third round. That was weird because I thought the Avs were just going to stand pat, and I don't know that that does anything for them, but okay.
Yeah, they've gotten a little space between them and the other playoff contenders in the West, so I guess I get them making one more move. He's another guy whose value declined a lot in the last year because, I mean, it was only a year ago he was going for a first-round pick, I think.
I guess the Bruins did add Marcus Johansson. I forgot about that.
Yeah, that was right at the end of the day.
Yeah, I missed that one. Second and a fourth for him. Again, I mean, that's sure that's shoring them up, but I'm not terrified of Marcus Johansson going to the Bruins.
No, nice piece added to a nice team.
Yeah.
They're in that Pittsburgh category of, like, eventually you run out of things to give up.
Yeah.
Eventually you run out of assets.
Which I'm surprised it also took them this long, because they've added some nice pieces over the last few trade deadlines.
Yeah.
And that's really it. Those are the main pieces that moved. I mean, I didn't think it was a slow day or anything. I thought it was pretty exciting, but I don't think there was any tectonic shifts, even though some big names went, like Simmons and Duchesne and Stone. Those are all big names. But they didn't really land in places that I thought, you know, changed the conversation in any way.
Yeah, the Duchesne thing happening sort of before trade deadline day changed the dynamic of the day a little bit. The fact that Columbus decided not only not to be sellers but become buyers, that changed things a little bit. Yeah, to me the stories are Columbus, what they decided to do, and sort of the big teams out west just adding.
Like, I would have liked to have seen Winnipeg add Stone. That would have been a nice addition, I think, for them. But Hayes is a nice one. Yeah, he is. I Stone's better. And
oh yeah.
But now he's in Vegas. I mean, that's a good, but Vegas, I don't know. I didn't really have Vegas in the conversation of great teams. I think they're a good team. They're a better team now, but it would have been more interesting if he joined Winnipeg or Nashville or something.
Yeah, that's probably fair. I do love, though, what Vegas has done. Like, I don't even really think of them as an expansion team anymore, which is incredible.
What, 2 years in? Yeah, they're just a team.
You think about how long it took, like, you know, the sort of mid-90s, early, like, Columbus. Columbus still hasn't won a playoff series.
Yeah, exactly.
Vegas, they've been in the league for 20 years. Final. And even, you know, even the Minnesotas and the Thrashers. And you think about how long those teams have been mediocre for, the Panthers. The fact that Vegas has been able to just completely leapfrog that entire process, and they're just another team now. And they made the Stanley Cup final last year, which we both agree was probably kind of a fluke, but, like, now they're going out, they're making trade, you know, they were in it for Carlson last year, they go out and get Stone this year. Like, they didn't have to go through that 10-year slow grinding process, which, by the way, if you're trying to get fans in a new market, that's probably a good thing.
Yeah, Seattle should take that advice. A great way to grow it quickly would be to make the final in the first year. There's no way NHL GMs are going to let Seattle get anything this time out. I think they learned a lesson from the embarrassment, because they should be embarrassed for what happened with Vegas.
Absolutely, they should be. Yeah.
Bunch of idiots. Like, even the owners, what are you guys doing? You don't have to set this team. I mean, in a league where revenue is shared, maybe it makes sense. I mean, I don't have any idea of how the books are working for this, but it's crazy to me that they would just, like, let Vegas saunter into the league and suddenly be good. And I know that it's not like the draft was set up for it, but as it down goes, Brown did an interesting thing for the Athletic. I don't know, maybe a month back, maybe a little less than that, where first he tried to put together, I think it was the best team with basically all the current contracts 5 years going forward, and then he just tried to put together what would all the worst contracts you can possibly fit under the salary cap on one team look like, and that's what Vegas should look like, and it resembled Vegas in no way.
Yeah,
like it's probably what Seattle will resemble, though.
Well, that's what I thought was going to happen with Vegas. Is I assumed it was going to be sort of another mini buyout. Because we're in between lockouts right now,
yeah.
And I figured that's what team would use it for, and you could get rid of, like, I thought their team might be decent because they'd get a bunch of good, albeit overpaid veterans, and that's not really what happened.
I guess you.
But I think it's undeniably a good thing for the league that Vegas has done this, right?
I think so. It might, yeah, in an overall sense, it has to be, because it would.
I think like it speaks poorly about other GMs, but. I mean, I really think the league was hurt by all those markets in the 90s and the 2000s just being, you know, if Florida, I mean, Florida's not a great example because I guess they did make that final in their third year, but, you know, if those other teams, if the Columbuses and Floridas of the world had a bit more success a bit more early on, you wonder if they'd have a bit more fan support.
Tampa Bay's a legit team. Not just in the way they play. Like, that fan base is they're amongst the most well-attended games in the NHL this season. And I know barn size plays a factor into that, but I do think there's a fan base there in Tampa now. Now, if they sucked, I doubt the Floridians would be headed out, but when you do put a good product out there, they're coming. I think the Florida Panthers could be, you could put the Tampa Bay Lightning roster in Sunrise, Florida, and they'd still be 9,000 people at those games. I don't think that market cares for whatever reason, but it worked in Tampa.
It's just a shitty sports town in general.
It is, yeah. But, I mean, it worked in Tampa because they had the success, and we might be seeing the same in Vegas. Meanwhile, Arizona, you're in the desert, but you also sucked the whole time.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
They didn't do much today besides give us this wheel guy, whoever he is. We'll see how he does. I don't think there should be games today. I think we've talked about this in the past, but I'd like to bring that point up again. But that's stupid. You can take the fucking day off. Come on.
Yeah, there's plenty of stuff to talk about on the, you know, NHL Network and on TSN and Sportsnet. Like,
it's a free day.
It's a free day. Make a travel day.
Yeah. That way guys can also get to their new teams. It just seems more fair. It can't be that difficult to make this a day off.
No, it's never made a whole lot of sense to me.
Though I did, the thing that happened the other night was awesome, where Columbus and Ottawa were playing the same day that Duchesne got traded. So he just switches sides of the arena. That's one of my favorite things. That so rarely happens. I love it so much.
Happened when we traded for Glenn Metropolit, I believe.
Did it? I forgot about Glenn. One of those good fourth liners who wins us over.
Exactly.
I love that stuff. Weird hockey. All right. Well, that's a trade deadline. We did it. We broke it down for you.
We made it.
Condensed episode of the Big Boss. Still bigger. Still twice the size, at least. And like 9 times the size of the one I did after the Leafs. I know you don't listen, Sean, but I think I tried to come in under 5 minutes after that Leafs game.
Yeah, I can't blame you.
I don't like, especially on a Sunday, on a weekend. And I haven't been too emotionally invested these past couple years for obvious reasons. But I was very invested on Saturday night. And then you're feeling up, and then it gets ripped out from under you, and I just didn't want to hang out with that again on Sunday. And there's not even football right now to cleanse the palate, so that's tough.
Yeah, it's rough. And I mean, a win would have put us a point back, right?
Even the fact that it didn't get to overtime just kills, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, at least things are going shitty against New Jersey. I probably won't do an episode of the recency bias after that game, since this is already on the feed. Plus, there is more action from your Montreal Canadiens Tuesday night. They get right back to it, hopefully to recover from what happened in New Jersey or to put together two wins. Maybe? Doesn't look like it. Still 2-0, right, Sean?
Yes, it is.
All right. Well, it's Detroit, who aren't very good. Habs in Motown on Tuesday night. I'll talk to everyone after that. When will we hear from you next, Sean? Like playoff preview? That sounds about right.
That sounds about right.
I hope we make it. Hope we get in. I don't like not making it.
Yeah, it's good. I mean, it's got to come down right to the end, right?
Yeah.
Barring something, like, it just seems like it's going to come down to that last week.
Yeah, barring a 7-game winning streak like the Bruins went on to make themselves very comfortable, or a 5-game losing streak to end all hope. I imagine it'll be win a couple, lose a couple the rest of the way, and it'll be decided in those final games down the stretch. Let's see how the season ends. That'd be worth looking at before we get out of here as we head into the final months.
I want to say we end with Toronto, but...
That is correct.
I mean, we usually do, right? Yeah.
Hell of a run at the end. I'll give you the final 7 games. Some good stuff in there. Carolina, they'll play on the 24th of March. Then they got the Florida Panthers. That'll be a big one, most likely. Then they've got Columbus on the 28th of March. Another big one. Winnipeg Jets on March 30th. Tampa Bay Lightning on April 2nd. Washington Capitals on April 4th and finish the season with the Leafs. All right, so you want to put yourself in a decent spot before you get
there. That's a test. Yeah.
I mean, March is all over the place. It's a full month of hockey, obviously, but that's just the final 7 games. They'll want to be in a good spot when they get into that. That's heavy hitting.
That's a tough stretch, yeah. I mean, at Columbus, at Carolina, like, the season could come down to those 2 games.
It could. We'll be following it on this podcast, on the Recency Bias, the Morning After Minipod, on rabbithabs.com. Follow us on Twitter at the Montreal Bias. You're at the O'Neill Factor. I'm at Zach Drops Tweets, and of course, at Rabbit Habs is the website. Thanks for doing this, Sean.
My pleasure.
Any final thoughts on trade deadline?
I think we covered it.
It's good.
I think that was literally what we just did.
Okay. Thanks.